Happy 2021. You know, I gotta say, it's been great so far. We've really got everything together as a nation, as a world. It's just it's definitely no problems or shocking events happening here. Absolutely not. I don't talk about politics on this podcast. This is episode 75, I believe. Of course, I never come here prepared knowing what episode. Yeah, episode 75 of the WillMalone.com podcast with your host, Will Malone. I don't talk about politics on this podcast or really in any of my social media feeds. I think there's this weird trope now of people in the creative world that all have the same opinion, and they all share it as if they are, you know, they are a minority and a majority, yet they all kind of think the same way. So, and it tends to be kind of on the liberal side of things. And, while I agree with some things in that vein, there are a lot I disagree with. And I, just because I am an artist and I'm in the art world and stuff, I don't have the obligation to, you know, believe in every, you know, political movement that every other artist tends to believe in. And of course, you know, I know artists who tend to go against the grain, in, you know, some political beliefs. I'm friends with a few, so I'm not saying they all are, but I will say that my social media feed, I might as well be looking at the posts from like one person over and over and over, because a lot of the photographers and artists and stuff I follow are all kind of posting the same things. And I'm not saying they're necessarily wrong things, but there are some things that I think that, you know, just when you live in the art zone, you tend to believe. And I don't really have much more to say other than part of what I do on social media is just not want to become that. I don't want to be part of the noise. And I kind of like to keep my stuff insulated from a lot of what's going on, because I think the world has been kind of ruined by politics, in that everyone has to infuse their political beliefs into everything. And I just think no one actually wants that. No one wants to live in that world, by any means. It's a weird time to talk about politics on the internet. I choose usually not to do it. We have this new vein of people who think that if you're not posting about politics, then you are part of the problem. And I think that's an insane belief. I think earlier in this podcast, part of the reason I stopped the podcast is because, like, took the hiatus is because I was tired of fighting with people on that. Like, I had people messaging me, like, if you aren't talking about the Black Lives Matter riots and you're just posting, you know, your pictures, like, you are the oppressor, stuff like that. Like, they were commenting on the fact that I had not said anything on social media, which I find to be, like, crazy town. That in order to show fealty John Wick style, you know, I have to put my hands out and bleed, you know, you put a sword through my hand so I can bleed in front of you to show that I'm part of the cause. And I don't think that everybody has to do that. And on the right, I think that's equally as much of a problem. You know, if you aren't like super Trump, then people just assume you're just a super radical liberal and there's no in between. And unfortunately for those people, I am in between. I tend to lean conservatively in a lot of ways, and I tend to lean liberal in some other ways. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I'm not going to just pick one camp. And at this point, both sides have, you know, abandoned me and my beliefs, and I feel like my beliefs haven't changed too drastically over the past few years. And I think that if you are like me and you tend to be more reasonable about things, you feel somewhat left behind as well. And that's kind of where I'm at. As far as the riots and stuff, I mean, all riots are bad. I'm just going to say that first off is, like, I just think rioting's bad. I think it doesn't accomplish anything and it's a total nightmare. I don't care who's doing it, but let's be real. Yesterday, I mean, what a astonishing show of patheticness. I mean, it's just wild. It's wild that something like that could have happened. It's wild that they could out man law enforcement. It's just, it's nuts. Like, it's totally wrong. I think that it's pretty obvious that it was incited by a leader who chooses not to show leadership, and it was totally wrong. And it should, I think, you know, I think honestly, like, Trump should probably, despite him leaving office anyway in 2 weeks, like, he should pay for the consequences of how he incited this, just straight up. I don't really care. And listen, I work for a lot of clients who are Trump people who like Trump. I work for a lot of clients who don't like Trump, and I really don't care. Like, I really, it's fine. Like, I don't judge you for any of your beliefs. I do judge you if you wear a buffalo hat and run into, you know, the Senate floor like a barbarian, because, and that's just not where we need to be as a country. That's doesn't accomplish anything. First off, it says more about you than it does everyone else. But it's just not, it's not appropriate, and it's not how this country runs, and that kind of behavior is what tears this country apart. And our leadership, our media, and everybody is sowing distrust in our institutions and doing all those things, causing stuff like that to happen. So I wouldn't say that Trump was solely at fault for this one, to be honest with you. I don't believe that. I think there is a lot of things at play. I think that, you know, media outlets kind of incite this stuff too. I don't think it can be purely blamed on one person, because I think that one person, Trump, is kind of a symptom as well as part of the problem. And it's, everything was kind of leading to this. And if you couldn't see that before, like, I don't know, you know, I would love to smoke what you're smoking, but like, it was kind of bound to happen. It's been just bubbling up this whole time. So I can't say I'm surprised, but I will just say that for a year where we have struggled in various ways, and everyone has been affected by the virus and everything, and even the riots in some way, it's been a bananas year. And while I do think we will come out of this, like, I really do, I have an optimistic view of things that, you know, once some of the air is taken out of this balloon, when Biden becomes president, I think things will probably calm down a bit once the vaccine's out. I think we will return to some kind of normalcy. But as long as we keep agitating each other on social media and keep, you know, I mean, seriously, like, spreading just like lies on social media just to get people amped up, and quit echoing back to each other, like, that's going to be a problem that needs to be dealt with overall. Because I think the role that social media plays, I think the way we use social media in such an undisciplined manner is also part of this. If you believe everything you read on Facebook, then yeah, I can understand why you would, you know, raid the Capitol, because there's some insane stuff that normal people believe because they read it on the internet or whatever. And on both sides, again, on both sides. And I don't want to be this guy that's like, you know, there are fine people on both sides. There's a lot of bad people on both sides, like, straight up. There's just a lot of bad people on both sides. And I don't feel at home at either of those sides. And so that's where I stand, if you were wondering. And yeah, truth be told, I think it's time for Trump to go. I don't think, and I'm sure people listening to this who may not know my political views really, probably think, oh, he's an artist, so yeah, he's naturally liberal. I'm not a liberal, straight up, not a liberal. I would not define myself as such a thing. So yeah, just because I don't like Trump doesn't mean I'm this radical liberal. And just because I don't like Trump doesn't mean I don't have some conservative views in some ways too. So it's madness, and everybody needs to calm down, because first off, a lot of this stuff that we worry about in the presidency doesn't affect our day-to-day. A lot of it, our day-to-day is actually affected by things that are happening in our neighborhoods and communities and stuff like that. And we should be more focused on our communities and our neighbors and those kind of things. And I feel like that's kind of the ethos of what I do in photography. Is I grew up as a military kid. So I've been all around the world before I even went to college. I've, you know, Italy, Europe, other parts of Europe, you know, sorry, I was sorry, great audio etiquette. You know, I just ate lunch, so I'm like trying not to like burp into the microphone, you know, so that's really great. You come here for the NPR quality of this podcast. But no, I've been to, you know, Italy, Singapore, Japan. You know, I've been all over the place while I was very young, before I went to college. And then after college, went to, you know, Brussels, Paris, like all these different places. Because I was lucky that I got the opportunity to see the world. When a lot of people go to college, they're starving to see the world because maybe they've lived in the same town forever. And, you know, I joke that I'm going backwards because I now live in a small town and I'm kind of discovering what it's like to have a hometown and a community and that kind of thing. And I think that's where my photography led. It's like I got to start off my photography career taking pictures in Hawaii, Paris. You know, some of my first photos were like across the globe. And now I have this thing where I'm interested in small towns and smaller communities and places people don't necessarily go all that much, or places that people don't know about, or just appreciating the things that people may walk by every day and not even give second thought to. And so I think, you know, if you dig into my political beliefs, you'll find that similarity in what I make as well. And I think that I remember 2019, I went on this trip with my buddy Robert Schoolfield, who we actually documented in the podcast. It's one of the earlier episodes on his special delivery tour where we drop paintings off. And we went to this one gallery and they had like paintings of, you know, Trump and Kim Jong-un and nukes. And it was just like all this really rote stuff. And so I tend to roll my eyes at a lot of the social political art that's out there because it's kind of, it seems the antithesis of creativity. It's like the news just handed you a topic on a silver platter and you did no work to get there. You didn't dig into yourself. And it kind of tells me that you don't necessarily know who you are when you kind of jump to the quick, easy, like political art or political comedy or whatever else where, and so I don't like that stuff. And so that's also part of why I don't really talk about politics, is because there's so much more to life. I like the stuff that tells me about who you are, tells me about what you're interested in, tells me about your life. And if you're making paintings saying, you know, Trump is a madman or whatever, that tells me nothing about you. And I think that's what people want in art. I think that's what people want to see, is like, I've learned that in this business, is people buy from who they like. People buy art from who they like and who they know. And Robert Schoolfield's a great example because I'm looking at one of his paintings hanging in my house right now. And, you know, I look at his stuff and there's so much of him in every painting. And, you know, I don't know if we've talked about this on, joked about this on the podcast. I think I have. I don't think he'd mind me sharing this. But, you know, I used to work at a place that did art reproductions. So artists would bring paintings in and I would take pictures of them and we would color correct it to make a close to identical print of it. And so, you know, my mentor, Mark, who's also on this podcast in an earlier episode, Mark Lakey, you should listen to his episode. It's full of a lot of great wisdom. He's kind of just gifted at color and doing these art reproductions. So he spent a lot of years teaching me how to do it, and I'm still nowhere near where he is, by any means, but you know, Robert Schoolfield was one of these people that would bring in their paintings and we would work on. So I got to kind of learn the craft of art reproduction through Robert bringing his paintings in. And then later on, me and Robert became, you know, friends and went on this trip. And, you know, we talk a fair amount to this day. I haven't talked to him in a little bit. I need to give him a call soon. But, I remember he would bring in his paintings and he'd be like, yeah, don't read that. Don't read the back, you know, because they were so personal. And, I would often respect his wishes and not read the back. I haven't heard him say that to me recently now that we kind of know each other a little better, but yeah, it's just, there's so much of him. I mean, he puts like money in there and, there's one painting, I don't know if he still has it. I think he does, where he actually like put his diploma in the painting. You know, in fact, I was looking at this painting because I was moving it out of my office to my house for now while I'm getting the new office ready. And I was looking at the edges of it and I had never noticed, like, he had pages of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest on the side. And I don't think he just did that randomly. He did that for reasons that speak to who he is. And so that's the kind of art I'm into. And while people may look at the stuff I make and think, oh, that's just motel art, I hold some bitterness in college when I brought in, you know, we had to bring in stuff that we like. I think I talked about this recently, actually, but we had to bring in stuff that we liked, something that inspired us. And I brought in art from Peter Lick, who is this landscape photographer who makes ridiculous amounts of money off his prints. I remember going to his gallery in Waikiki in Hawaii right before I moved away from Hawaii. And I went through his gallery and it blew my mind. I just never had seen photos on that scale. And even though it was like landscapes, there was something just so impressive about it. The presentation, it was more than just the photos, but I also just wanted to be able to take photos that good. And through, you know, honestly, a random series of events, I managed to like pick up the skills along the way to now I could see a time where I could have a space like that. I could print my work super high quality like that. And I'm armed with the tools to potentially, you know, kind of do something like that. Maybe not probably be as good as Peter Lick for sure. I mean, he's been doing it for way longer than me, but there's something about it that's just so impressive to me, and just to be a master of a craft. And in photography, a lot of people who may be good at taking pictures aren't good at the other half, which is like finishing the photo, meaning printing or presenting it in some way in the real world. And that's kind of been, in a way, a lost art in digital photography. And so I see Peter Lick's stuff, and it just shows me, like, just the power of what you can do with photography. So I brought it into a college class to say, this inspires me. And my professor was like, oh, that's like hotel art or whatever. And I took offense to it because it meant a lot to me. And like, how dare you say that? I get where he's coming from. I'm not saying that necessarily I disagree with the fact that, you know, there's a lot of good landscape photography. But it was what was behind the dock photo or the photos of New York City that, you know, you may see similar types of photography in different ways, but it was what was behind it. It was what it meant. It was who made it. It was what they did with it that meant something to me. And I think that art in general, you have to almost have that behind the scenes. Like, you can be drawn in by an amazing painting, but is it really going to mean all that much to you until you know who made it? And that's what I wonder all the time. And so that's kind of why I share things the way that I do, is like, I want to be decently transparent. I do want some privacy in life overall, but I want to be decently transparent because, you know, you may see a cool photo I take of Thomasville, or a photo I take of Anderson, or a photo I take of, you know, Florida or whatever. And you may see that and be gripped by it, but until you know me, it won't have the meaning, right? It just looks sometimes like just like a regular old landscape. And so that's why I think this podcast is valuable to showing that, is because it kind of fleshes out what all of this is that I'm doing. And I think that right now, especially now that I'm living in a smaller town, I'm kind of getting a hometown late in life, and I'm shooting photos in accordance to that. And so when I take a photo, it's because I'm excited about something. I want to show you something. It's because it meant something to me. Maybe it's something I've missed. Maybe it's something I just didn't have as a kid. I think a lot of what drives my photography now is the fact that, like, you know, part of it is living in Hawaii, I couldn't really drive long distance. I couldn't really go on road trips. I couldn't really, you know, see the whole country because we were on an island. And so now that I can, you know, I live on the same landmass in South Carolina as California, like, I can get in my truck and drive all the way there. And there's something just so, like, interesting about that to me. I love driving. I love driving around taking pictures of stuff because there's just a lot. I've seen a lot, but there's a lot I haven't seen. And one of those things is a small town, is a hometown, is a community. And I've had the excuse of not getting too deep in a community because I've been kind of all over the place. I've lived out of a suitcase for so long. You know, once I went to college, I kind of felt like I was half invested in wherever I was living for almost a decade, and now I feel like I'm fully invested in a place I'm living. And it's new, and it can be hard. I get why people get tired of it sometimes. I get, like, sometimes you're like, man, I would just love some new scenery or whatever, but, you know, I can always get in my truck and go somewhere else, go check something else out, and gain new appreciation for where I live. And it's cool to have a home base. You know, it's cool to come back to a place that, you know, I don't even have my suitcases here. They're like stored away somewhere. And it's been a while since I've had it not in reach. And now I'm about to have a baby, and I'm sure that will influence what I make in one way or another. But at the end of the day, this started as a political thing, which is hilarious. Like, and it ended up about art, which, again, these are things that are important to me. And where politics fits in art is, I think it does in as far as it speaks to you. And there are a lot of people out there who the Black Lives Matter protest spoke directly to, and I understand that. I don't think that's wrong. I think there are news stories that speak to some people more than others. I have a problem when people say that something should speak to me, or I should say things that everyone else is saying for whatever reason without putting too much critical thought into it. I have a problem when people are telling other people how to think. I have a problem when people are telling other people what to post. Because, you know, I remember telling somebody who messaged me like that, they told me that I should be posting about something or other. And I was like, I don't take requests, you know, I don't take requests. I'm sorry. I just post what I post. And, I think at the time of that, actually, I had just found out that we were having a baby. So it was like the riots and all the things that were happening in the summer just weren't on the front of my mind. Like, I just wasn't, paying attention. And I don't think I'm a bad person because I had something else going on in my more micro life. And I think if you didn't follow the news yesterday of the Capitol being raided by those frat boys, it looked like, with the buffalo hats, because you were busy in your community or with your family or whatever, then, like, great. That's good. That's how it should be. It really should be. 'Cause then we're going to be no different than any other fallen empire if we just focus on, you know, the top. And the fish rots from the head down. And I think that we've had some bad leadership over the past, probably over a decade now, that have created division and created strife among us. But I will also say that living in a smaller community like I live now, which, I mean, largely, I live in a very red area of the country. It's very Trumpy here. But I'm not seeing as much division day to day here, even by the most, you know, staunch Trump people. You see it on the internet, but you don't see it as much in person. And when you see it in person, like at the Capitol, it's a real bummer. But at the end of the day, I think that we are kind of more involved in our smaller lives, our community and those things. And I think a lot of us are more thinking more about that than we tend to think. And if we're letting whatever's happening at a national scale infect that, then I think we've lost a step or two, and we need to reassess, like, why we're even here in the first place. Like, what even is life if you're worried about what's happening up there that you can't control? Because there's something obviously dissatisfying in your personal life that leads you to not pay attention to anything but that. And while I think it's good, I'm very informed, I keep up with it. And that's not to say I don't pay attention. I pay attention. I keep up with it. I have my opinions about most things going on, but I try really hard to not let it get in the way of everything else I do. You know, and one last thing too is, like, you know, there's this talk that everybody wants The Rock to run for president, you know, and along the same lines, I think The Rock does more good by being The Rock and being in movies and being entertainment than he would as president. And we've got it in our heads that that you have to be president to make any change. And I just find that so wrong. And it bummed me out about the Joe Rogan Kanye West interview, is that a guy who's such a genius like Kanye West, and I really do believe Kanye's a genius. I believe he sees things that other people don't. I think he has a different way of seeing the world. And I love that episode. But one thing that disappointed me is a guy so insightful like that, so on it, so unabashedly original, thinks that in order to make real change, he has to run for president. It kind of disappointed me because it really shows that we formed this world here in America where we think that that's the only place that anything happens anymore. It may be the place that we mostly pay attention to these days, but if that's the case, then, like, you know, we might as well be in Coruscant, you know, watching Palpatine take over. If just one guy influences everything, then we've kind of already lost. And I don't think one guy influences everything. I think we give one guy way too much influence and power. But I think that there's so much more that to life that influences us. And I think entertainment's one of those things that really, I think, does more to our daily lives than we realize, has more to say, has more. I think entertainment and art, like, really changes society in ways that I don't think we quite realize, in ways that are more than how the government changes it. And also, too, if you have made it this far, if you are, you know, you're in 2021 now, and you look at how the president, the government handled any of the past, like, virus and all that stuff, like, I don't know why you would be shocked that they do a terrible job in every other way. Like, I have zero faith in government getting things done. I don't want more of it. I don't want more government. I don't want more attention being blasted on the, you know, cult of personality president that we have. And the fact that people like him, people who are fame hungry and TV personalities, are kind of drawn to that position should be an alarm bell for us as to what the stock we put in that position. I would love to live in a world where half the country didn't know who the president was. And I know that sounds kind of crazy, but truth be told, it should be a much more boring job. We should be less, he isn't God. No president is God. No president has, what's it from Aladdin? Unlimited cosmic power or something like that. No president has that. They're just a man. They're just a man. And they tend to be very egotistical men because of the amount of power and fame and that we just put on that position. And I think that's part of the problem as well. You know, social media is a big problem. I think social media is a great thing. Social media has done a lot for me personally. I don't know if I would have gotten into photography without it. I don't know if I would have been able to have a business without it. So I like social media. I am pro social media. But I think a lot of us need to think about how it fits in our lives better. And we need to take personal responsibility for the discipline around social media. Some people find it better to bail and take breaks. That's great. I don't love when people like post that they're some sort of hero for getting off of Facebook and make a big deal about it. But I do, like, if you need to get off Facebook, get off Facebook. You know, no one's forcing you to be on it. And we just need to use it in a way that we use everything, you know, in the same way you don't want to drink too much, or the same way you don't want to eat too much, and same way you don't want to watch too much TV. Like, we just need to be more well-rounded and monitor our social media usage like anything else that could threaten to undo us if we go too far. Again, I don't think these are radical ideas. And that's kind of why also I don't talk about my political views, because it's kind of uninteresting. It's not exciting. You know, there's nothing really super fun to grab onto. But anyways, it's been 30 minutes, so I'm gonna leave you now. I really had other things I wanted to talk about, but it just kind of got away from me. So you can follow me at Will Malone on Instagram. Malone, like Post Malone. You can go to willmalone.com. I'm revamping it this week, so next week's going to be, it's going to have its fresh new 2021 stuff in it. It's just been a wild week just trying to get everything together with this office. I feel a little behind, to be honest with you, over the past couple weeks. And then, yeah, there's going to be some weirdness with my posting regularity when this baby shows up. So, you know, lot to look forward to in the next few weeks. So, yeah, but I'm going to leave you here. So we will talk very soon, and I will see you next week.